the professors she'd loved and feared and made a fool of herself in front of, the boys she'd loved and feared and made an even bigger fool of herself in front of, the punchy all-nighters before exams, the classes, the parties, the friendships, meeting John. Her memories of that time in her life were vivid, perfectly intact, and easily accessed. They were almost a little cocky, the way they came to her, so full and ready, like they had no knowledge of the war going on just a few centimeters to their left. Whenever she thought about college, her thoughts ultimately bumped into January of her freshman year. A little over 3 hours after her family had visited and left for home, Alice had heard a tentative knock on her dorm room door. She still remembered every detail of the dean standing in her doorway. The single deep crease between his eyebrows, the boyish part in his grandfatherly gray hair, the woolly pills budding all over his forest green sweater, the low, careful cadence of his voice. Her father had driven the car off Route 93 and into a tree. He might have fallen asleep. He might have had too much to drink at dinner. He always had too much to drink at dinner. He was in a hospital in Manchester. Her mother and her sister were dead. John, is that you? No, it's just me bringing in the towels. It's about to pour, said Lydia. The air was charged and heavy. They were due for some rain. The weather had cooperated all week with postcard sunny days and perfect sleeping temperatures each night. Her brain had cooperated all week, too. She'd come to recognize the difference between days that would be fraught with difficulties finding memories and words and bathrooms and days that her Alzheimer's would lie silent and not interfere. On those days, she was her normal self, the self she understood and had confidence in. On those days, she could almost convince herself that Dr. Davis and the genetic counselor had been wrong, or that the last 6 months had been a horrible dream, only a nightmare, the monster under her bed and clawing at her covers not real. From the living room, Alice watched Lydia fold towels and stack them on one of the kitchen stools. She wore a light blue spaghetti strap tank top and a black skirt. She looked freshly showered. Alice still wore her bathing suit under a faded fish print beach dress. "Should I get changed?" she asked. "If you want to." Lydia returned clean mugs to a cabinet and checked her watch. Then she came into the living room, gathered the magazines and catalogs from the couch and floor, and piled them into a neat stack on the coffee table. She checked her watch. She took a copy of Cape Cod magazine off the top of the pile, sat down on the couch, and began flipping through it. They seemed to be killing time, but Alice didn't understand why. Something wasn't right. "Where's John?" asked Alice. Lydia looked up from the magazine, either amused or embarrassed, or maybe both. Alice couldn't tell. "He should be home any minute." "So we're waiting for him." "Uh-huh." "Where's Anne?" "Anna's in Boston with Charlie." "No, Anne, my sister. Where's Anne?" Lydia stared at her without blinking, all lightness drained from her face. "Mom, Anne's dead. She died in a car accident with your mother." Lydia's eyes didn't move from Alice's. Alice stopped breathing, and her heart squeezed like a fist. Her head and fingers went numb, and the world around her became dark and narrow. She took in a huge breath of air. It filled her head and fingers with oxygen, and it filled her pounding heart with rage and grief. She began to shake and cry. "No, Mom, this happened a long time ago, remember?" Lydia was talking to her, but Alice couldn't hear what she was saying. She could only feel the rage and grief coursing through her every cell, her sick heart, and her hot tears, and she could only hear her own voice in her head screaming for Anne and her mother. John stood over them, drenched. "What happened?" "She was asking for Anne. She thinks they just died." He held her head in his hands. He was talking to her, trying to calm her down. Why isn't he upset, too? "He's known about this for a while, that's why, and he's been keeping it from me." She couldn't trust him.